not to embarrass you, so just get to know you. If you can come in, please. Oh, welcome. Welcome. Anyone? I'm Miranda. Okay. Hi, I'm Adam, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, welcome. Anyone needs phone numbers? Guys, have a phone number? You need phone numbers? Okay. Okay, well, welcome everyone. And also, in keeping with our seventh tradition, which states there are no dues or fees for AA membership, we're self-supporting through our own contribution. You're not expected to contribute if it's your first meeting. Well, the baskets are going around. Right there. Oh, thank you. Oh, I thought I planned everything down. I will read the announcement. Okay. If it's your birthday coming up, please see chairperson or the direction on the birthday board about birthday silver dollars. That's the one. The bulletin board in the large room right there contains information on temporary sponsor list and finding a sponsor, having your anniversary posted in the intergroup, requirements for chairing a meeting at the central group. Our group conscious meeting is the first Sunday of the month immediately following a 10 o'clock meeting. If you park in a dentist lot next door or any area in a parking lot and not designated for parking, you will be towed. After the meeting, please move to the rear of the building, picnic table, and avoid using loud language out of courtesy to the neighbors. A literature can be purchased at the coffee bar, and there will be free brochures available in the corner. Right there. Okay. Get in my way for some reason. At this time, chairperson should briefly qualify. Requirements for chairing the meeting at Central Group Saturday night speaker meeting are 1 year of continuous sobriety and attendance at the group conscious meeting. I have both, and by the grace of God in a court system, here I am. I was kind of transported here, and not really kicking and screaming, but inside of my head, saying, "Oh, I'm going to show you. Just let me get out of here." And I was in treatment. I was pregnant, and I remember fighting and fighting and thinking, "Oh, I know. Oh, I don't have any problems. Oh, no, nothing. No, I'm all good and everything." And then, because it's, inpatient treatment takes such a long time. And I realized that the only way to get through it is just to follow it, you know. And it was really hard to be able to open up, trust the process. But I'm forever grateful that I did. And here I am, a couple of years later, chairing the meeting. So they're done with that. And the group asked me to remind you to please make sure your phones are off and to refrain from moving around and talking while the speaker is sharing. Our speaker tonight, the speaker that I chose is a wonderful, wonderful lady. She's my sponsor. Surprise, right? You go ask people, you know. I love talking to her and we share a special relationship. And even though I don't call her enough, I was going to say don't tell her, but she's right there. Anyway, Barney.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bunny, and I'm an alcoholic. If I cry, it's just me. And somebody said there was Kleenex up here somewhere for me. Yep. See? It says Bunny Box. Neither mine. Anyway, I'm going to tell my story. And the way it was, and, you know, the more sober I get, I realize how out of control I was even earlier. When I first was coming in, I was saying how alcohol did work for me for a long time, but as I go through my life and I start getting a little bit more brains back, and I start realizing how out of control my life was from such an early, early age. My sobriety date is September 29th, 2004. I come from the south side of Chicago. I came from a family. My father was a blown-out alcoholic. I don't remember a lot of him in my home. I just remember a lot of chaos, a lot of excuses, why he wasn't there, why he'd be gone for long periods of time. As I was growing up, I didn't really, maybe I didn't want to know that that was what the problem was. But I came from a very small town. We lived on a street, the front, it sort of goes into a funny situation. We are best friends with some people up the street from us. And needless to say, my mother ended up marrying that man. And we became stepbrothers and stepsisters. We were always together, but needless to say, something was going on in that street. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we moved up from there. I was in first grade. We moved up to out in the country. And I really did have a good life, even though my father was who he was. He was a very sick man. We lived in a small town. We lived on a lake. We did a lot of skiing. You know, we just, we had a good life. My parents were good to us. We had yours, mine, and ours type of family. Both our parents worked a lot. I think when it really, I mean, I could keep on going on, but my parents were good parents. And where should I even start? Okay. I guess basically where it started for me was when I first hit high school. And we used to call it suicides. We used to take the Miracle Whip bottles and we'd go in the liquor cabinet. And, of course, we would put a little bit of everything in there, you know. And we'd go out to the cornfields and we'd get totally loaded. And we would go to the sock hops and we would go to the football games totally trashed. Yep, my life was in control. You know, and it was just an every weekend type of thing. I don't know, I'm totally causing a blank here. Let me just regroup for 1 second here. But anyway, it carried on. I can't even remember when there wasn't a weekend when we were drinking. We may not have drank during the week, but we would drink on the weekends at all times. Then we were in a ski club, and it became the weekends. We would ski all weekend, then at night we'd be on the islands and in the boats, and we'd be out drinking. You know, it's funny, every time I tell my story, I realize how out of control my life really was with alcohol. I did want to say that I was in control, but I don't really think anybody that drinks to a blackout stage every time they drink, their life is in control. I made it through high school. How? I really don't know how I passed. I never did my homework. I was never in my class. Back then, obviously they passed everybody, because there's no way if you would go today that you could pass school in the way that I did. But I did. I went to beautician school after that. After that, I started working in the city. I was traveling in and out of the city. We'd stay in the city half the night, come back. I don't know how I got up every morning, but I did. My father owned this little hardware store in the small town that I lived in. And the funny thing is, I'm going to go right into this part of the story, but he owned a hardware store, and this gentleman would come in all the time, and he had owned a bar down the street. And he'd come in, he was always fixing it and putting it together, and, you know, he was always working on the bar. Well, anyway, this man would come in, and he would need the weirdest things when he was building this bar, you know, because he was always doing construction work and everything else. And needless to say, he started talking with my father, and he was talking with me, and at that point he was a married man. And needless to say, he would tell my father that he had put wine on tap, okay, and he had a big tree in the middle of his bar, and he put the wine on tap. And, of course, he invited my father and I down there to try the wine on tap. Well, needless to say, we went down there. I started working for him, so I started working in the bar. So, needless to say, my life became a bar. I may have gone to, you know, worked as a beautician during the day, but I worked at the bar at night. Needless to say, I went out with this gentleman as he was married, but my life was not out of control. It was not dysfunctional. I was going out with a married man that had a child. You know, it took me a lot of years to realize that this isn't right. You know, I never, all the way through the whole time, I just thought this was a normal situation. You know, I broke up a marriage. You know, today if somebody broke up my marriage, my goodness. But at that point, I was not even thinking in those lines. Needless to say, we were together. Our life was one big party. And needless to say, we moved downstairs from the bar. So I never had to drive. This was even nicer yet. But they all knew I would get downstairs by how many times I bounced down those stairs. And it was every night. But you know what? We had a lot of fun. We went out and did a lot of things. But as I put it together, I see that about 21 at that point, I never went a day without drinking. Drinking became just part of my life. It just came. And then, of course, drugs came along with it and the drinking and everything. I would call in sick to work. It had to be once or twice a week, not thinking anything about it. I was a terrible employee, you know, and those people kept me working at their place, and I don't know how. As I go through, and like now that I'm telling the story again once today, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, just my whole life was like that. It just kept on going on and on. And, I don't know why I'm causing such a blank here today. I guess a lot of emotions are starting to surface, and I don't know where to put them right this moment. But, you know, and we just went on, and for many years we lived together. He had finally got divorced, and we lived together. And then my mother she had committed suicide. And the month before she did that, we had gone down to see her. And she tried to do it then. And she had promised me, because I told her I was going to go live there, I was going to go stay there, I was going to go take care of her. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. I'm okay. Well, a month later, she did kill herself. So at that point, not realizing it, I realize it today, but I use that as the poor pity. Poor me. How dare she do this to us? You know, I was angry. I was angry for a lot of years. My family blamed me because I didn't tell them that she did that. So, you know, I got blamed for a lot of years with that. So we ended up, we were in the business for about 8 years. And, I mean, I could go into detail, but it was one big party at all times. And we had a lot of fun. We really did. But looking back today, I see how many people I hurt, how many toes I stepped on. I broke up the marriage, as I said once before. I let my family go. I stayed out of touch with my family because they didn't like the idea that I was going out with him, was going out with a married man. You know, all these things I left at the wayside, not realizing it as I was doing it. Then we moved down to Florida. We came down here in about 83, and we got married in 83. We came down here in 84, and we got into the electronic dart business, which was also we would put the games in the bars. And then once we put the games in the bars, we would run leagues, tournaments. So our life was still all around bars. That's we lived, eat, and slept. That's all it was. But it was almost like it was a natural thing for me because that was our life, that was our business, that's how it went. You know, and then I had my daughter. I had my daughter in 85, and that's when I really started drinking. I started drinking really heavy. I drank at home most of the time. You know, we still did events and everything. I was still out in the public quite a bit, but my husband would come home and I would be drunk and just so often. How he put up with it or why he put up with it, I have no idea. But it went on, you know, and we still ran the business out of the home. We still did what we did. As I go through my story, I realize that, you know, not that I'm trying to sugarcoat anything, but, you know, as my kids were growing up, I still felt I was a good mother. My house was clean. The food was on the table. I was a soccer mom. I was this, that, and the other thing. But how many times I let my kids down, either driving them and their friends drunk? I mean, that's child abuse, really. I never thought about it like that until I told my story one other time, and I realized that, you know, here I am driving. It could have been any one of your children. And I am driving them around, and I had been drinking all day. You know, what part of that is in control? You know, and then I would get on these binges, and I would stay out all night. Never did I have an affair, thank God. But I would, you know, I would leave my husband and my kids at home so I could go out drinking. Not selfish at all, is that? But it was. You know, I only thought of myself. And as it rolled and it rolled and it rolled, it just got worse and worse. I would drink all day. Sometimes I would get dinner on the table. Sometimes I would forget I would put dinner in the oven until I woke up the next morning and dinner was still cooking in the oven. You know, did I feed my family or not? And all my husband would do is just yell, scream, verbally abuse me. That son of a bitch, how could he talk to me like that? How could he treat me like that? You know, so then he would be miserable the next day, and I would find that next day excuse to drink again because he was so mean to me. How rotten can he be? You know, per me. And then I would get all my friends to feel the same way I did. I'd get on that phone. So I would make those excuses daily so I could drink. You know, I spent my whole day either chasing for that drug or chasing for that next bottle. I would buy those little bottles and say, I'm only going to drink this today. Did I go about five times up to that liquor store and buy those small bottles? I sure did. I couldn't buy the big old one because I was hiding it. Nobody knew what I was doing. Every time I left the house, said I was going to go get something. I couldn't even say I was going to get cigarettes because I didn't smoke, you know. But it just, that vicious, vicious, vicious cycle that takes you in and doesn't let go. And then what happens is it becomes the addiction. It becomes the almighty, and it rules your life. I don't know if anybody can relate to that today. But, you know, it all we do is we live, eat, and sleep for that next drink or that next whatever. And it just rolled and it rolled and it rolled. And I just, you know, the big book reads about the tornado. And I've always said since day one when I came in here that I was the tornado in our house. I just spun out of control. And, I tried to sugarcoat it because I would, you know, there would be days that I, you know, I would attend. I'd be the soccer mom, and I'd go to the soccer games. I'm sure I had a few under my belt before I went, but I thought I was controlling it and whatever, and they didn't really notice, you know, and until there was times when my daughter would just say, Mom, I don't think you should take us today, you know. And then, no, I'm fine. I was always fine. That whole time, I was in such denial. I was in such denial because I didn't think anybody really noticed as much as I really was drinking. You know how that is. But anyway, let me get my water. So it went on all through my kids' years, and then it got to where my kids' behavior at school was out of control. every day I was being called in to the offices. They had speed dial for me, for my son, for sure. Because there wasn't, and I'm not kidding, there wasn't a day that they didn't call me in because of my son's behavior. And it was because my son was a crazy kid. Still to this point, it was nothing about me. Today I'm understanding that. But as I was going through that, I wasn't understanding. Their behavior came from my behavior. You know, even when I first came in the rooms, and I'm sure some of you will remember how I would bitch about my family and my husband and how bad and how everything was. All that was caused from my drinking. I can say it today, but it was. It was all caused from my drinking. It ended up my daughter, which I was in denial about because I was still drinking. She got caught up in her drugs, like at eighth grade on. She ended up dropping out as a sophomore. And, you know, I didn't do nothing about it. I kept on ignoring it because I was still doing what I was doing. And then it came my son, and he was getting called in every day. And he made it in high school, but he was getting kicked out. I had him in six different high schools because each one was kicking him out. But I was still drinking. I was still going along trying to say, you know, my son's crazy. I can't control him. I don't know what his problem is. Well, what his problem is, they're angry because their mother is an alcoholic. And she can't do anything she says she's going to do or anything she's going to follow through on, you know. So it got senior year, he dropped out. So neither one of my children graduated. But, you know, I can't take all the blame for this. They made choices too. But they were both very angry children. So then my son dropped out. Then I figured then it was my husband was having enough. I think he was getting enough. Finally, it came to the point he took my keys from me. You know, the time before that, my neighbors were gone on vacation. And I knew they went on vacation this week, every year, the same time. And they went on vacation, and I decided to let myself in their patio, which today I realized was breaking and entering. Back then, I didn't think it was breaking and entering because I knew them, and I used to party with them, and they would let me borrow their liquor. I stayed in there for 2 days. 2 days, drinking, waking up, passing out, until finally the sister-in-law came to check on something. She found me there. Of course, she turned me into my husband. And, of course, that didn't go over too well. So after that, it was, let me just back up. 3 years before that, I had came into the rooms. And I was in for 5 months, and I was healed. I was okay. I could handle my drinking. And that's when it really escalated because I was trying to control it. You know, I was only going to drink wine, just like, you know, it says. And so, anyway, that's where it got me. It got me tenfold. I was sober, like, for 5 months. After that, then I started tootling with it and thinking I can control it, and nobody's noticing that I'm doing it. And for that 3 years or whatever spanned, it was just so much out of control. And then I came in January 25th of 2004. And I came in, and I wasn't going to let go. I wasn't ready to let go yet. It just, I surrendered one thing at a time. I was in for 9 months, from January to September before I got sober now. I had to, I probably have more white chips than, there's just too many of them to count. But the deal with that is, if you're new, you don't have to go through that, and you don't have to go through that hell ever again. You never have to pick up again. You never have to start over again. So for that 9 months was brutal, as some of you from Central know. They watched me come in and out and come in crying and smelling of alcohol, and it was a journey. But the only thing I can say is I ended up going through two sponsors through that 9 months. And the one sponsor I had, the only thing I can say about Pat, well, there's a lot I can say about Pat because she's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman, but She kept me picking up white chips. Every time I drank, she would say, "Now you got to go pick up another white chip. You got to go pick up another white chip." And the most embarrassing thing in my life was picking up that white chip. But thank God today that I did do that. Thank God I didn't give up. Thank God I kept on picking up those white chips. I just wasn't ready to surrender. And she would always say, "Do you have any reservation in your mind that you'll drink again?" "Oh, no, no, this is my last time. I have no reservation." And, you know, I would pick them up. I would pick them up and still be drinking, you know. And then I would get myself to 30 days, still drinking, but trying to tell everybody I have 30 days. Or then I would go 60 days, pretending. And then I would go back to white and back and forth. And it was quite the journey. It was... I wasn't going to give up. I was still angry. I was angry because my husband was so mean to me. I was angry because my kids couldn't stay in school. I was angry because they were all talking to me like I was dirt. My family was terrible. They were the worst they could have ever been. And I blamed and blamed and blamed. And then finally I go to a women's group on Saturday morning from the heart. And... finally, they had enough. They never gave up on me, but they had enough of me crying on their shoulders. So one day, one of the girls said, "You know, I'm just tired of hearing your bullshit. Either you do it or you don't." I said, "Oh, you son of a bitch, I can't believe you just said that to me." And then my sponsor of today, I looked at her. She says, "We'll talk." And Ruth took me under her wing, and it was from then on out, one day at a time, 30 seconds at a time, we started. Did I know then that, you know, and I just, I was mad that she could be that way to me. And, but it took a whole village of people. It didn't just take one sponsor. You know, I had like two sponsors, and they had this other little group that was around me to keep me down, to keep me focused. I was still angry. I was still, I think I was about 3 months sober. And I called one of my sponsors. And I was just bitching my husband out. "How dare he, this, that, and the other thing." And she says, "All right, I've heard enough. I'm done with you." She says, "Leave your husband and your children alone. It is not their fault." You know, I was just so angry. I was still blaming. And I thought, how dare you go on my husband's side, you know? But as I started getting into the steps finally, you know, I made every excuse in the world not to start the steps. I stayed sober. I think I was about 3 or 4 months sober before I really started the steps. And then I had every excuse in the world why not to do the steps, you know? So we started getting into the steps, and I started getting a little clearer about whose fault a lot of this was. Yes, I was a sick individual. Yes, I'm an alcoholic. But you take the alcohol out of the person, and you still have the yuck. So we started sorting through it and sorting through it. It took me probably another 3-4 months before I could do the fourth or fifth step to get to that, because I made it. Every excuse on that. Finally, she just came to my house and said, "We're doing it now," because there wasn't enough excuses. She was tired of them. But once I did my fourth and fifth step, a light bulb went on. And I was so thankful that I got through that fourth and fifth, because that was the light bulb moment. That was the clarity of putting it in the individual columns, writing it all down, finding why it really was this way or why it was really that way. And then it was into service work. And service work, I don't do a lot of service work today, but service work saved my butt. They made me go clean ashtrays, clean toilets. I had to be in the 2 to 3 meetings a day for the first year and a half, because I was that unruly. It was like 30 seconds at a time. I want to back up, because I kept on relapsing, kept on relapsing, kept on relapsing. Pat said to me, let's try something different. She said, next time you want to pick up a drink, try calling somebody. Of course, I wasn't going to pick up the phone. I wanted to drink. I didn't want any of you to tell me, don't drink today, go to a meeting or whatever. So that one particular day, I picked up the phone and I had the bottle of wine in one hand and the phone in the other hand, and I called Pat. And she said, get out of... I used to clean houses, okay? I cleaned out their liquor cabinets is what I did. I would start working and do a good job. I started on that liquor cabinet. I clean half the liquor cabinet out. I couldn't work no more. So I'd write some kind of crazy excuse note why I couldn't work anymore today. And these people put up with me. Until after a while, I started losing one customer at a time. But that... I sort of jumped there, I'm sorry, but that was just one point I had to bring up because that was another thing. I would go to work to drink, you know, and I was getting away with it. So I thought, except my customers knew, but they were just putting up with me. But so as we got through the fourth and fifth step, we got through the rest of the steps, and I was just hanging on. Those women that would tell me 30 seconds at a time. I mean, I had a rough first year. I wanted to drink that whole first year. I really did. I'm just going to be honest. But I'll tell you what, I did the deal. I made the phone calls. I came to my meeting. I stuck with the women. You know, I had to be accountable. I had to do what it took. You know, I had to leave my family alone. I had to quit blaming everybody else. I had to take the blame. At 48 years old, I had to grow up and do the deal. And by the grace of God, I have a wonderful life today. I have more than I ever thought I could have. Is my life easy? No. My daughter, she's 2 months clean today. My son's still using. But I'll be damned. I use my kids. When I look at them, when both of them were using, I said, I don't want to look like that again. I have to show them that there's another way. I mean, I go through a lot of turbulence in my home. My home's it's not a real safe place. I mean, there's not abuse, but verbal abuse. But it's a very sick house. And as I find, the better I get and the more I do, the better my home does get. My son's still very much out there. I've been saying for a while I got to get him out of the house, and I just can't get myself there yet. Thank God my daughter has gotten sober. She had gotten pregnant, and we have a 5-month-old granddaughter living in my home. The best gift I could have ever gotten was her. I have another chance to do this right. I have another chance to show her how to be a real mom. It's only because I'm sober today. Just the simple things in life that should come natural for most people did not come natural for me. You know? I don't know if I am the real huggy kind of mom kind of person, but the thing I'm learning how to be through my granddaughter to my daughter, that if I keep on staying sober every day, I can show my daughter no matter what, we can make it through this. Today, she's doing a wonderful job being a mother. She's a better mother than I could have ever been at 23. I would have never gave up my life. I would make sure that I was still going to party. You know, and she did at first. She did at first. And I would watch her, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, is that what I did? Is that what I did? But, you know, she was always hated me so much for my drinking and my drugging that when she was first doing it, I couldn't say anything else to her but be there for the baby. And it got to a point where I had to say to her, you know, I said, Marie, either you got to get sober or you have to get out of my house and the baby will stay here. You know, I was never had that opportunity of anybody helping me. I didn't have a mother. I didn't, you know, but I'm not saying I would have been sober then because, you know, you're going to take every drink you're going to take, you know, no matter what. And But by the grace of God, she's doing well today and turning in to be a great mother. You know, we have a relationship. I never had a relationship. Now, I'm almost 5 years sober, and I'm just getting these gifts today. But, oh, am I glad I held on. I'm glad I went through all of that, held on, because now today, it's more than I can ever imagine. I've always wanted a restaurant, and but we wouldn't do it because I couldn't stay sober long enough to show up to cook. So, anyway, but today, 5 weeks ago, I opened up a restaurant downtown. My husband, we had a building downtown, and my husband believed in me enough to do it. God's gifts. These are just all gifts of this program. So if you're new, please, just one day at a time, just keep coming back in. Don't give up. And if you slip, come on back in. We'll always love you no matter what. The deal is you got to get back in the rooms, you know, and you got to stay in the rooms. And, you know, it's just one day at a time. And if it wasn't for this program, you know, I just, the God thing was really hard for me. And I still say to this day, my God is AA. Because I could relate to AA, I couldn't relate to the God thing at first, you know. So they told me that I could make my God anything. It could be my God. So my God was AA. You know, it was this program. And I owe everything to this program because it, for one, I became willing. God gave me the strength to become willing. And then God gave me the rest to stay here. As long as you become willing, God can get through to you. Your heart can open, God can come. He can get inside here. But without that, he can't get inside. You know, but so if you can't believe in the God, believe in the AA, because the AA will get you there. You know, they don't have these 12 steps in this order for any other reason but for that it works. You know, I always say it sounds a little crazy, but I don't know if I'll be the one to do it someday, but somebody will, I hope, is in the school system today, I feel these 12 steps, you take out alcohol, you take out God. This should be a class in school. Just like math or anything else. Some kids like it, some don't. Some would take it and some wouldn't. But the deal is they would get this life on life's terms, because that's what those 12 steps are. It's life on life's terms. You know? It's just like all the young people that come in today. They are so blessed that when they come in young, that they're going to learn these tools at a young age. You know, I had to do it at 48. I missed a lot of my life. But, man, to come in as a young person to start getting this deal, man, you're going to have a great life. You know, because it's all here. It's just, you know, we never learned how to live life on life's terms when we were drinking. You know, we lived them on our terms and the bottle's terms. My best friend was a bottle of vodka. You know, I didn't know any other friends. You know, I used them, whoever had money or whoever had the drug or whoever had the drink. Or they would use me because at one point I had it all. You know, that. I spent a lot of money, a lot of our family's money, drinking and drugging. You know, to this day. My husband still has a lot of anger. But I see him coming around a little bit more each day. A little bit more. And the more that I show them that I can be consistent every day in what I say I do, not just this kind of thing, but I say what I'm going to do and do what I say or whatever that saying is. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, okay? But, you know, it comes. It all comes for you. It's just one day at a time, 30 seconds at a time. Even today, I'm an alcoholic. You know, definitely there's days I think, man, I'd like to be drinking, or when my household's crazy, just say, frick it all. But it's like, I call it my choo-choo train. The choo-choo train goes through my head. As quick as I think about it, I see my husband's eyes, I see my daughter's eyes, I see my son's eyes. Boom, I'm done. Because I never want to see those looks again. You know, how many days I would wait for it to get dark like it is today, and I'd get the lights off in the house, and then it was like, everything I did for the day was gone. I never wanted the sun to come up. because I would have to face that reality of whatever I did that morning, you know. And it was just too much to bear, so I would have to be drinking before the sun came up so I would get them off to school and then pass out again or whatever it may be. But, you know, today I don't have to do any of that. Today life just comes more natural. It comes easier each day. You know, I do a little bit of catering, and I was catering with somebody that's in the program. And we were popping all the champagne bottles, and we were pouring up for the toast. And she looked at me, and she said, "Does this bother you?" And I said, "As simple as this, they can, I can't." That's how simple that is, you know. And I have to keep it simple because I'm pretty simple-minded, you know. And that's just the deal today. I used to watch my neighbor walk around her yard with her cocktail. And I used to get so aggravated thinking, look at that goddamn drunk next door. You know, this, that. But the deal is, her life has never been out of control. She raised two wonderful children. She, you know, they got a, everything runs beautiful as I can see it. You know, she can. Damn it, I can't. You know, I wish I could, but I can't. But it's just what it is. And, you know, I could go on forever on how much AA means to me. But without it, I'm just so glad I walked through these doors. And I'm so glad, you know, it takes everybody whichever way it is. I'm not one of those that everything just has to be by the book and every little thing. Not everybody's like that. I always said I didn't come from a cookie-cut world, you know. You know, different people have to do it different ways. I guess I had to do it the way I did, you know. That last 9 months, I beat myself up literally. I don't know if I could ever do that to myself again. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I mean, I love looking at all you people. Everybody's face is nice and clear. Everybody's feeling good. That's how I want to feel every day. I want to keep on making more progress. I want to open up another restaurant. I want to do things like that. And it's never too late, obviously. At 53, I'm opening up a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was working yesterday, and I worked long hours yesterday, and I said, this would have been a lot easier at 30. It really would have. Here I'm at 53, and I'm dragging Heine, you know? And I'm pushing myself through this day thinking, damn, why aren't I 30 years old? You know, I could do this. But I'm not going to give up. I'm just not going to give up. You know, I've got my daughter now. She's into it, and she wants to do this and whatever. You know, she's 23. God bless if she stays in, you know. The deal is, this is the deal. One day at a time, you don't take a drink, and you couldn't do nothing else today but not take a drink, you had a perfect day. Because it ain't going to get no better than that. Thank you.
Wow. Not bad, huh? It's because he didn't use the rest of them. Thank you, Barney. Now I know why she's my sponsor.